This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius. Live. Fit. Go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
Welcome to Maximize Your Hunt, the podcast dedicated to those who want the most out of their hunting property. This podcast explores land management, habitat improvement, and hunting strategies that will help you maximize your time in the field. Follow along as industry professionals that live and breathe white-tailed deer share their secrets to success. And now, the founder of Whitetail Landscapes, your host, John Teeter.
Hi, I'm John Teeter, Whitetail Landscapes. This is Maximize Your Hunt. Welcome back, everybody. I was just over my land this morning. I think I started about 5 a.m. I just finished my work for the day, so my chores are done. I was spraying my apple trees this morning with a little concoction that I came up with. It seems to just help them this time of year. We've had a bunch of rain, and I usually wait a couple days after heavy rains to employ some spraying. And typically do in the morning, that's the most effective time of trying to get all underneath the leaves. It's a gradient of some calcium and phosphorus, a little bit of copper sulfate in there, and some humic. And it does an excellent job helping to promote growth on those trees. I'm just trying to speed up the process. I use a term, sheer utter neglect. And I really treat most species like that for their first 3 years. So any tree that I plant, other than tubing it, I let it just sustain itself in the local ecology, and I let it develop on its own. And the philosophy there is what's good is good, what will live will live. And it's really a simple philosophy, and I employ that pretty much with all my plants. Now, the apple trees, once they hit about year three, I start to focus on them a little bit more. And this is year three for those individual trees, so I'm putting a little more time and effort in certain plants. I did some willow cuttings this morning. I'm working on a hedge. I've got to do a little bit of work on a food plot. My no-till drill, I don't think did a very good job in one particular area, so I may go back and redo it. I've been dealing with a bunch of non-native plants too, wild parsnips on my property. For those that don't know, that plant, you know, if it comes in contact with your body, the reaction to the sun or the UV from the sun, it'll start to bubble, look like a third degree burn. That's a nasty one to deal with. So if you're out in the field, you know, just pay attention. The deer eat that plant actually at a certain stage. The plant is kind of like a celery stalk. Think of it that way. Very water rich plant, and the deer do hammer it at some point, but eventually, you know, they go on to other things. Let's see, what else am I dealing with? Let's see, ribwort plantain. That's another plant that I'm dealing with in my food plots right now. Again, just I do a lot of mowing and maybe spot spraying. You know, that's kind of a combination to get rid of some of those plants. There's a couple little tricks to deal with that one in particular, and then horse nettle. Those are really kind of my three nemesis right now. And I'm just kind of walking through a process of kind of handling those individual species on my landscape here. I'm going to start spraying invasive plants over the next 2 weeks. You know, every morning, go out, kill some invasive plants, come home, do some work. So that's kind of my schedule. All right, that's it. That's my rambling. I just want to fill you in on what I was up to today. And hopefully that helps people stay motivated. So this is client three. And in the past two clients, we've kind of dialogued a lot about their journey. And I've been intrigued by these conversations because the hope is that it motivates you. It motivates you to grow, motivates you to look at your property more effectively and really kind of have a plan of action. And I think a lot of people fail, not just in the planning, but in the execution. So we'll talk a little bit about both those today. Hey, Mark, are you on the line?
Yes. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great.
Good.
Nice morning here in the northern part of New Hampshire.
All right, so Mark Wright is a client of mine, and we've had a journey together. I don't remember when I was at your property. I think it's probably been a year. I think I was there in the July of last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you remember, it was we had quite the hot spell when you were here.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, northern New Hampshire, not necessarily known for, it's not a big buck state. We'll just say that. But you got a little piece of heaven up there, and I think we started to turn that thing into a good hunting property. I think it was, you know, it's just a special area. I mean, it's beautiful, the view. I mean, you've got a beautiful view of a lake, and it's just up on a hill. It's picture perfect. Why don't you dialogue a little bit about yourself? What do you do for work? Let's talk a little bit about you. Let's talk a little bit about your journey, your hunting journey, and then let's talk about your land.
Sure, happy. I'm an attorney. I've been practicing for about 33 years in a regional law firm in the Northeast. Been with the same firm, right out of law school. Probably going to end up retiring there, at some point. Live up in the northern part of New Hampshire, fortunate enough to be able to work to a large extent remotely, the nature of my practice. And probably 10 years or so ago, and we had a place up in northern New Hampshire with you know, no property, so have to go around and talk to folks about getting permission to hunt. And we were on sort of the lookout for primarily some acreage so that my wife and I and two boys, we would be able to own some hunting property. And we stumbled upon what was at the really, you know, sort of needle in the haystack now, if you were to look out there, but an old farmstead. We're up on the Vermont-New Hampshire border in the Connecticut River Valley. I can see Vermont from my fields behind my barn. So yeah, we ended up buying a pre-Civil War farmhouse built in 1856. So before President Lincoln was president, which is kind of remarkable when we're here and looking around. And it came with 130 acres. I was fortunate enough 5 years later to acquire an abutting 110 acres. Total acreage is approximately 240 acres that's all contiguous. And it's mostly wooded. There's a nice big swamp down in sort of the center of the property. But where our house is, that is, we've sort of completely remodeled from Civil War era where we have fields and old pastures that sort of surround the house on both sides of the property. So it truly, with some old apple trees and, you know, just the typical old New England sort of farm property.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something out of a picture, you know, and that's the thing that was cool when I pulled up. I said, you know, boy, it does have that kind of Civil War, you know, it's got that kind of like, you know, era to it where it just, you've kept it somewhat, you've modernized the home in a way where it just kind of fits in the environment and the land setting that you're on, the elevation. You talked earlier about the continuity across the property. You own both sides of the road. I think on one side, maybe there's 30 or 40 acres and the other side is the remaining couple hundred. It's cool because there's an eclectic diversity across that property. You've got bear, you've got moose.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and,
fox, bobcat, coyote, not great sometimes, but howling just last night with a flood of fireflies in the field. It was, looked like 4th of July, but yeah, you and I were around. I mean, we had turkeys watching us, following us, as we were, you know, moving around the property. So I feel real fortunate to have all sorts of game, throughout the property.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just a wonderful property. I think when I was there, I remember, I think I grabbed you. I stumbled on, I think a small nest right in just right off, right in the house in the pasture there. We found a small turkey nest. And I mean, I was cutting, turkeys were around me, deer. It was a good, really nice experience. I really kind of enjoyed just that environment. And I've worked, you know, through Vermont, and this was my first job in New Hampshire. And I kind of just felt like it was a good opportunity for me to explore new areas. I had to do some research, like always. You know, I fundamentally come in, kind of understand your ecotones and ecotypes, and kind of dialogue a little bit with you about, you know, what the environment's like and all the hunting history and, you know, just your experience. But let's get into hiring a consultant. You know, the past two clients that have been on, we've talked a little bit about that path and process. How did you even kind of go about making the decision to hire somebody? What was the impetus or point in your, point in your decision-making where you're like, I need help or I want direction? I want to kind of dialogue a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I had owned the property for probably 10 years or so, and been hunting it and had some, you know, had some success. I brought my boys up and even my wife, got into hunting 8 years ago. So she's out there, enjoying, you know, the property. And, you know, it was such a large piece of property that, you know, I was probably, you know, first of all, I knew I wasn't using the best and developing the best parts of the property, just because of lack of knowledge. Been hunting since I've been 12 years old, but you know, what I learned from you and learned from this process is, you know, there's hunting and then there is understanding the habitat and the land and what is it that you can do to improve the land, which ultimately improves habitat and hunting. And so, you know, when I started to think about fields that I have around the house and what would I do in the woods, it became completely overwhelming. You know, I didn't know where to start. It was, and then I started listening to dozens of podcasts and realized that lots of people have different ways of doing things. And I got onto one of your episodes and got hooked. So before I called you, I must have listened to, I don't know, almost, I think every episode up until the time I called you. And I absolutely was captured by your approach, your thought process, the knowledge base that you have. And you know, the other thing was you were, while you were not like near me, I mean, it was quite a drive for you, but you were in the northern part of, you know, the hemisphere, the state, the country. And so to me, you had the best knowledge base for, the ecosystem that I was in. So, you know, after we spoke once, it reaffirmed your personality. I knew we could work well together. And I talked to one or two other consultants, and which is sort of what I do whenever I'm hiring professionals. And ultimately, I didn't think there was any, it wasn't even a close call. I knew, and I was willing to wait over a year. You're pretty busy. When you said a year, I'm sort of used to, like everyone, right? You want things done, you know, yesterday, when you realize you could have been doing a lot of these things. It would definitely, and I'm so glad that I waited, because the first year of what we saw and the improvements that you did, and you worked for, we walked the land for 2 days, and that was great. Got to know you, got to learn a lot from you on species and sort of just thought process. And you asked lots of questions and listened and gave some great advice. And then for 3 days, we decided to work on the 40 acres across the road, which we completed, and then started a few sections behind another food plot. And I think I told you a couple times, we've texted a number of times throughout the year, and I've sent you some pictures, and it was by far my best hunting season in 12 years on this property.
Let's pause on that. And I think that's a good next story piece of it. You kind of dialogued a little bit here about having to make decisions. And, you know, sometimes for some folks, they get in this, I want to say, quandary of, you know, what do I do next? And I find now in my life to rely on individuals that have expertise and become a resource for me. We built a relationship, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So I basically lived with you for about 5 days, and or maybe it was 6 days. I don't remember how long we were together, but I moved in and I was a part of your family.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
I got to see a little ups and downs and family dynamics, and you know, right. we had some time, a lot of one-on-one time together. We were able to get personal and just learn about each other and share. And I took a lot out of it just personally. You know, aside of the deer thing, obviously I love pulling up into that barn and looking across and having lunch. And your wife is a phenomenal cook. I'm sure she'll appreciate that, but she was wonderful to interact with. And obviously, you know, I had a great time with you. I'm a small business owner, right? And so part of my job is being a business owner isn't just about selling something. It's about building relationships. And that changes the dynamic between you and I and really the rest of my clients. I mean, some people just want to report and they want to move on. And some people, you know, form these relationships. I kind of wondered, you know, for me, what was that like? Because for me, it was great. I really got a lot out of our relationship, if, you know, just on my end of it. So maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's great. I mean, as an attorney, I work with hundreds of clients, and it's all about relationships. And it became very clear, even before we met, just our dialogue, it just, lots of times you can just tell how people communicate, that I knew that we were going to hit it off. And when we met and we spent 2 days, walking for 8 hours a day, because you said, I want to know as much about your property as I can. You did, you know, it's clear you did all the aerial homework. But as you said, there's nothing like being on the ground. And we walked around, and during those 2 days, we talked a lot, personal, professional. And, you know, by the time you left, I considered you a friend of mine and someone who I could call and talk about anything that we developed or questions I had, but also just the personal side of life. And to me, that is a valuable relationship, and one that is something that I never expected to get out of this. This was sort of a bonus. I ended up getting someone who is a friend that, and I told you, you know, you your family are more than welcome in the summer to come out and not work, but enjoy the New England. And I hope you take me up on that. But it was it exceeded my expectations, and it was just so easy. The process of learning from you, understanding, and you know, as the other day I was thinking about our call, I reminded me of, this is what I think your approach is, and I found this because you were just incredibly responsive and receptive at all hours and time. One of my law professors had told me, first class, he said, just so you know, and it was an older guy, he said, when you paid your tuition with me, he said, your tuition is good for life. Meaning after you graduate law school, you could call me anytime and I will help you. And I sort of thought of you that way because, that's how you project yourself and how you carry your business. And it's, you know, it wasn't just, here's your report, here's what you should do, here are the things to implement. It came with this, and you call me whenever you have questions or whenever you have something that you want to ask me. And so that, to me, is not something that I think happens a lot out there, and something that I think makes you unique.
I agree. I appreciate that. And I think that's a separator. And that's what I use as my basis to kind of be very selective on clients that I now take. And then people that in the system, you know, I want them to grow from this experience on their properties, you know, professionally. I'm growing from these relationships. The questions that you ask me or the feedback that I get from you, that allows me to grow and develop. And so it gives me a chance to research, think through. I've got, now you remind me, I have to get back to a guy from last night. And so those are the things that are really critical to my business and the survival and growth of my business. So that's important. Now let's get into the meat of this thing. I really want to talk about, so I stayed there, consulted for 2 days, and then I started working. And you saw the ups and downs of that, right? I come out of the woods and I look a little bit like a barbarian. And yep. I'm giving you my all, right? I had no other purpose to be there other than work, right? And I really wanted to get you to the point where you saw some results. I had 3 days to kind of hammer out. We got 240 acres. Let's get as much done as we can and let's move. And I started on the other side of the road. It was a little bit more, not broken up, but you know, there's some fields, there's some small metal areas. It's a little bit easier to kind of distinguish a plan of action. And so for 2 days I worked over there. I think I'm pretty sure we got most of that 30 acres cut up. I know it needed some more work at the end there, but I pretty much cut 30 acres approximately in 2 days. And that's, I mean, I was flying. I was absolutely flying. So what did you think of that experience? I needed some help with a few things when I was over there with you. And just what were the things that you kind of got out of that experience? You got to see something. And then what was the end result? Like, what was the experience over there hunting? We also did some work behind the house as well. So we can talk about both those.
Yeah. No, in both of those areas, I can give you specific examples of what changed and what results came about. But across the road was all of it was a learning process. And I've told my wife since this last year, I think I've told you on the phone, we've had a couple calls, but I think that pushed me along the path of feeling more like a land steward and someone much more interested in habitat and how it works and how it can work for you and how it can be improved. And that really had me thinking, just for people to call you, that's sort of what their mindset at least has to start at. But then to see you in action and see your abilities, I was amazed. I'd come home at the end of, I go after you were done and you said, you know, stay out of the woods for a few days, make sure, you know, things have all settled. I brought my wife up there and I said, you know, I cautioned her, it's going to look different. But I reminded her of, you know, we need structure. Started in that one end of that property. And then you'd said, well, I want to go up and I want to finish that. Cause you had this we didn't have a written plan, but you had a plan mentally, and I could see how it was coming together. And you were explaining it as you were cutting these lines and creating these bedding areas and barriers to force the deer that were coming down off the ridge to come down into sort of my food plot or down to some of my apple trees into a funnel in a certain area. So you were manipulating the habitat and you know, in a way that I never thought and in a way that was different than I had been hunting it. And so I walked away completely thrilled and happy with what I saw because it created so much structure, so much reason for the deer to want to stay there, not just come from somewhere else and pass through, but there was now reasons for them to bed down closer to my food plots. The lesson on cutting and the you termed it, and I won't do it justice, but how you would cut one tree, but you had set up 10 steps ahead of yourself. So this it was. I don't know if it was an art or a science, but it was remarkable to see how these trees fell in succession and created this line or barrier that I think to myself, first of all, I never could have done it myself. They would have never felt like they fell for you. But of course, you know, you do this for a living. I don't, but it was an incredible transformation of that 40 acres across the road. And I first year, I'd say as a whole, I hunted, the two things I took from you were, hunting less and being more successful, of course. And it sounds, I was from the school of the more time you put in, the more chances of your success, but I don't think I was hunting as smart. And so what this has done is taught me, how to hunt better. And what I did this year was I hunted less and I saw more deer than I've ever seen on my property. In fact, for the first time in 12 years, I created a hit list. I had 11 different bucks on my property and I have 30 cams, 8 cell. So I have a pretty good coverage and I'm watching a lot of what's going on. And I've never seen this many mature bucks on my property since I've owned it.
That's a good dialogue there. The one thing I want to mention is, did you recognize, and I'm sure you did, you know, for the time that we were together, the stress and so you've got a pretty involved job, right? It's very technical. You have to be very capable. Now let's translate that to the timber, right? People think, oh, it's just some logger going in and cutting trees. No, it's not like that at all. There's so many decision points that are made in that process. Not only do you got to figure out where and why, you've got to frame it and you've got to create kind of this ideal scenario based upon the composition and species that are in that locality. And so there's a lot of thought that goes into just developing a hunting property when you're running a saw and you're doing that implementation work. And you dialogued about that, but I want to mention one thing, and I stress this on the podcast a lot. It takes a lot of, I want to say, strength, vigor, experience, knowledge, just being, some of it's intuition, some of it's obviously knowing, you know, deer biology and behavior and just experiencing that and relating that well to just kind of building this ideal bedding area or ideal hunting property or ideal, you know, corridor or trail system. But the work piece of it, the ability to do this, and then there's stress related to that. And I feel like I cannot relay this enough. And my partner and I say the same thing. It's a complicated, chaotic, organized mess. And mess in it, not very in a positive way, but it creates a lot of stress. And I would say that for the average guy, it's a ton of work. It's hard to physically do this. And I don't know how you felt about it, but I felt like, you know, that physical stress and strain, I look at it as a positive, but I also realize that it's hard. It's hard to accomplish some of these things physically. I needed help one time. A tree hit another tree It fell on one of your trails, and I said, please go get the tractor, because it's going to take me two hours to cut this up. And I'm like, I want to go work on something else, you know? Well, let's talk a little bit about that for a second, because I think that whole dialogue there is important for people to think about.
Yeah, no, I mean, in terms of, you know, watching you approach the areas that you were working in, you know, it was clear you had a plan. And, you know, I would say that if there was, you know, any tree that fell in a place that wasn't intended, that may have been the only one. And that was, from what I recall, a pretty big tree, had some challenging, topography where it was and some other trees around it. And the good news is, you know, it fell across the trail, but you know, that where it fell, except for the trail, we could leave it. It was part of the plan. But yeah, having you come over and which is great. It took me away from work for a few hours, and went over and we worked together to move you know, that tree and open up that trail, and then you were off and running you know, again. So there wasn't anything that slowed you down in the time that you were here. That's for sure. I was amazed.
Yeah. Now, Mark, one thing I wanted to just relay is, you know, the fact that your wife is now involved in hunting, really had a lot of dialogue with her during the days as well. And then, you know, one of the things that you and I had talked about, you know, when she was kind of away, is like, hey, we've got this aesthetic piece of this, right? You have this beautiful view, you know, across mm-hmm. kind of your pastured area, you know, through the woodlot, you know, out looking at a lake, you know, at your elevation points, just kind of a great view. So your wife had asked me to clear a bunch of trees. So the view was, I think I got rid of some dead trees for her so she had a better view. And then I wanted to make sure when we were creating the structure, this would be on the house side, we didn't impede kind of the aesthetic aspect that you've kind of created, right? You have this elongated, I don't know the size of those fields, but they're broken up in sections, individual hedgerows in between them. We developed the purpose for those. Mm-hmm. Some actually, they're for farming or I guess hay purposes, but there's another story there. But we created this really good structure behind that. And she was like videoing the aftermath. Tell a little bit about that story. Cause I had to think about Paula. Paula was like on my mind. I was like, I can't get his wife upset with me right now. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
And I'll go, it's a testament to you understanding the complexity of home and land ownership, and that you may be working with, you know, the husband or the wife, but there is a spouse that has an impact and some say. So you want to make sure that you're listening to, you know, to both of them and not getting me in any trouble, right? by doing the things you're doing. And so I appreciate you doing, you know, the intel work with my wife to make sure what you and I were agreeing with, to out in the woods was gonna pass the ultimate test. But to your point, yeah, we have a spectacular view. Looks into Vermont over the Connecticut River and the Moore Reservoir. And that is, she basically gave me free rein to do anything I wanted on the acreage and the property for the purposes that we had, and create a great hunting habitat, and not just for deer, but for all kinds of animals. But I could not negatively impact her view. The great news is we had so much to work with that did not need to go anywhere near that, including some of the information and advice you gave me, which I got to still get them in, some of the willows, the hedges that I'm going to be planting for a screen down there. They're actually in my yard right now. I've got a couple dozen of them that, you know, will grow at a certain height, but not grow too high and provide that screen on that one food plot. But when you, was thinking about that, you ended up doing some feathering on one side of the field, which came out fantastic, by the way. And it was behind this little clump of trees, so you really couldn't see it from the house. So you checked the box of her not being able to see it, but it was, from a habitat perspective, a fantastic spot. The other thing that you did was behind the field, So as it sloped down, and you remember that was quite a slope that was going down to the swamp, you cut, sort of lines of call it barriers, bedding along the field, and you couldn't see it from the house. But when the sun hits in the afternoon, that whole strip lights up. You can see the sunlight hitting the ground. I thought it was magnificent because we created the structure that we wanted to. You opened up the canopy so that the sun was coming down, hitting the ground where it wasn't before. It didn't impact the view at all, but we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish. That was improving the habitat around the food plot, giving it structure, creating bedding, and all working within the confines of sort of the plan that we had and the restrictions. And again, we didn't really have a lot of restrictions, right? The one was, you guys just don't mess with my view. And the one story I think you're alluding to is you were down there cutting, and you were doing one of those, I'm going to cut these trees, I'm going to cut one, and then I'm going to use it, and it's going to knock down these several trees. And my wife and I were standing in the barn opening, looking out over, and we could hear your chainsaw going, and it stopped. And so she had this on video, and I think she sent it to you. And so all of a sudden we heard one tree fall, and then it was a succession of about 8 or 10 more trees. And she looked at me and she said, huh. And I said, don't worry, it's going to work out perfect. Well, it was just so organic, her video. And then she just went, huh, because she just couldn't believe it just kept going. And so the funny thing is, so that season after I had ended up shooting a deer, a nice 6-pointer, Paula ended up shooting one with a muzzleloader. It was late November, and so my office overlooks that food plot down maybe 150, 200 yards. And right above where you did all of that habitat work, I had one afternoon, and my wife, I said, come, I called her up, and we're looking. I had 4 or 5 does come into the field, and this was, probably an hour of shooting time left. And for 2 nights, and I knew that second night, I said, if I really wanted to go get one of these nice bucks, I could do it because I know they're going to come back again and do the same thing. Well, 2 8-pointers came out in daylight, plain view of the barn and the house, and we watched it scrape, lick a branch, mark a scrape, chase a few does around. And I looked at her and I said, remember when we were standing in that barn and you heard all those trees go down? I said, those 8-pointers and those 6 or 8 deer in that field in the daylight, they wouldn't be doing that right now. They never did that. I said, that's why we did what we did back there. And it was like, I don't know, you couldn't have scripted what happened and then what transpired and what we saw in that area better. And it's just a testament to when you do things that are purposeful and meaningful and have a plan, it pays dividends. You don't have to wait 10 years like an apple tree to grow. I mean, you really can. And you were saying, when you were cutting, your goal was twofold, or maybe threefold, but it was certainly to create sort of structure and bedding and barriers, but you were also putting at the time tons of food on the ground, with all the tops. And, so it was, the results were seen immediately, and then you could see as the season progressed, the animals reacted so favorably to all the work you did, to a point where, I literally had the best season that I've had since I owned the property.
Yeah, and it's just amazing what I was able to do by myself in 3 days, right? You think about that, you can change. There's not a lot of you can change in the world, but you can change this one thing. And I'm almost certain you're sitting there and saying to yourself, I know you have faith in me, but I guarantee when you're sitting there with Paula, you're like, God, I hope this works. because trust me, every guy's thinking that right now because it's an extreme style. It's, I am pushing the limits of everything that I can possibly do. And, when you get to that point where, I'm a bit of an artist, right? There's an artistic piece of this and you're coming up with kind of just this framework of design. And again, it's pretty organized. You see how organized I am when I'm cutting. It's, you know, people think hinge cutting is like this big mess, right? Some of it's hinge cutting, I'm felling trees, you know, I'm doing some TSI work for the whole property. Like there's a plethora of things that I'm doing at that point in time. I'm identifying issues to you. So like, you need to go back and you need to take care of that fern. I need better screening on this top side. Like I'm marching stuff to you because I'm like, I need you to get this done because I hope that not only this year is better, right? The next year is better. And it just continues to grow because you're going to experience greatness. And that's the one thing I keep trying to explain to people. Most people are familiar with average or poor. They think average is excellent and they haven't seen spectacular. They haven't seen that gradient of change where it seems to me, and just from my perspective, it seems to me if you want the best, you've got to go extreme. And I feel like, you know, sitting there looking at that, thinking about all the things you've got going on and just realizing like, I'm actually making a change here for the positive. I mean, you haven't stopped, right? You got projects going on right now. I think, you know,
I mean, you said me and you know, we got into what you did and then it was, you know, I don't know if it was a few months, before I got the maps and the written plan, I call, you know, sort of, the maps and that binder, my habitat Bible. But it is all of what I expected and more. And there's good and bad. I mean, having a smaller piece of land, you can tackle it and the amount of effort and what you need to do can be done in a finite time. I almost feel like, the plan that I have, I've got so much work that that's what you helped me do. You helped me sort of segment it in phases and, you know, you've given me homework for the next 10 or 15 years. And it's all about what you want to do and how much and when. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but for somebody who literally, I never thought of myself as anything more than a hunter. Now I consider myself, and I told you on the phone, I said, you know, I'd still say that I like hunting, slightly more, like putting meat in the freezer. I like the challenge. I like starting to, you know, sort of ramp up my game in terms of age class. Now that I'm seeing, you know, a lot more and bigger deer. But, you know, I consider myself a land steward now, and I want to learn as much as I can to create the ultimate habitat for all species. And you know, I can remember when I listened to some of your early podcasts, I would take notes on all of the, and this is where the knowledge of it sort of by selecting you. I mean, I have notes in my phone of the native species that you said to plant. And so I would always take notes from your podcast because there was always nuggets that I knew I could use. I didn't know where or how to use them until we met and you actually developed a plan for me. But all of the things I heard, it was like, that makes perfect sense. And so, you know, you told me about your willow hedge. And so, you know, I went and, you know, and I'm implementing that. And, you know, I've got some annuals I plant, but then you want me to get to do some more perennial planting. And as you said, some of the work there, I have a logger right now. If you remember that right across the road where that flat area where the tree fell and brought my tractor, he is just about complete reclaiming that pasture. I've got an acre and a half of field that's right up on that top that is all screened from the road. That is part of what you call the carousel, which was amazing. The plan you had that basically will take the deer in a circle around my house from various habitat spots and food plots, and that's how they travel. And it's amazing that you know, you said, you know, put something here, and here's how the deer flow, and I'm going to cut this way, and they're going to travel that way, and. Without living on this property for 10 or 12 years, you know, with some insight from me and history and your cutting, you adapted that perfectly to how we want to move the deer.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like things are coming together for you. I'm happy you're using those resources and you're you know, I'm sure I'll be back. Right. We're going to work. We're going to continue.
Well, I think, we I'm trying to get on the book. You're getting busier, which is fantastic. And I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
More people are experiencing what I and others have. So you're going to become more in demand. So I need to make sure I get on the schedule for next year. And I think we even mentioned, maybe you and Josh would come out or you, but I'm looking forward to having some changes done that you can see according to plan, but also getting back together. And having some stories and laughs and having some transference of knowledge, which was a big part of, our interaction, about things that, the tie that binds. I mean, it's sort of a kindred spirit when you're talking to people that share the passion and interest that you do. It, doesn't matter, if you met, 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 years, there's an instant connection. That's what I had with you.
Yeah. And I do believe one of the strengths of these relationships, and I'd ask everyone, if you're hiring somebody, a lot of people are spending, a lot of money to have folks come out. And I would ask that you, when you're building those relationships, you recognize what the length of that will be like. And I feel like with a lot of my clients, it seems, we have similar interests, and that's a bond that's hard to break. But the sincerity, I think, in wanting you to improve and grow, and using that as a means for me, not selfishly, but to improve and to recognize that every area is different, every individual is different, every opportunity is different. We're shaping these landscapes to be productive, right? You had bear issues, right? We had to account for that. All right. We had to account for predation issues, right? We had to focus on really kind of growing a population, improving the herd dynamic piece of this is important. And then recognizing really the volume of food that we need across that landscape to support, a growing herd. And then also considering, your bait state. So we put in some suggestions for long-term sustainment for deer. We're getting away from the corn feeders. We're doing long-term kind of support techniques that are similar to some areas that I work out in other states, like Ohio would be a similar bait state. And, that's a process of me learning about, the differences in, hunting tactics, philosophy. It's New England's different. I've been in Massachusetts, Connecticut, your particular area, Vermont, it's just different. I go out to the Midwest and it's just much, much different. The mindset's different. The environment's different.
Right.
The growing season's really different. One thing I'm going to just mention is I think a lot of people, I see the criticism on hinge cutting, and I want to mention this really quick. When I go to other states, my tactics are going to be much different than it is in the Northeast, because the time it takes to grow a shrub, the time to take to change the ecological base, kind of the plant basis, is much greater than I think most people recognize. We have degraded soils, and we have generally low species composition, not diverse. And so it really takes an extreme kind of mindset. That's why we employ the sea salt. Some of the taxes we talk with mineral ash. I mean, some of the different things that we're employing that are cheap, simple, easy, and conducive to just replenishing or remineralizing the earth. And I think there's more to this than just hinge cutting trees. It's looking at many different aspects and elements of this, but the cover piece of it is really critical to your success on your property. And I want to bring that up because I recognize that I approach things differently in different areas. If we can burn, my design setup is much different than maybe some of the areas that we're talking about today. So I just want to keep that in the frame of people's minds. So,
yeah. And I'd also say that, to that point, and this is where I think, you separate, in my view, because I've listened to dozens and dozens of podcasts. Any free time I have, I'm listening to hunting stuff, just trying to educate myself. But what I thought was, valuable with engaging you was you acknowledged that, you know, that things are different in different areas and that every property is unique. And you were so knowledgeable about the soil types and the tree types and the vegetation and the native plants. There's so much to learn. But wants me to continue. It sort of sparked that sort of interest in learning even more to hear you just talk for an hour and say, oh my God, I wish I knew a fraction of what John knows. But then for you to come back after you've done some things and say, so how did it work? You know, and that's the piece where I think, you know, you take an interest beyond, you just didn't come in, do something. And because, you know, you ask me questions like, what do you think? And a couple of times I'm thinking, yeah, I guess he wants to know what I think, even though I don't know that I have a lot to add because he's the expert. But you know, you were sort of gathering information about not only what I wanted, but just sort of the property and how I use it. But for you to then come back and say, so how did that work? What are you finding? You know, tells me that, you know, it the interest that you take in what you do. Sometimes, you know, you hope it works the same the way, you know, it's worked other places, but you know it won't. So I think you continue to build your expertise by, you know, going around and branching out and going to different areas and then coming back to feedback to see what worked and what didn't for us. Yeah. And then we know, right, that Mother Nature plays a big role in all of that, and we can only control so much. But damn, if I want to control as much as I can control, you know, and the only way to do that is to get someone like you to get me a lot further along in the process. I think my only regret was you and I didn't meet about 11 years ago. but you reminded me that it's still never too late. And when you have the kind of impact that you can have within a year or two, you don't have to wait 6-8 years for the apple tree or the pear to start dropping. That's stuff that you can really do. Yeah. So you don't, you still have time. Everyone has time.
Yeah. I think that's a good sentiment to end on. I think people recognize that they do have time, but time is limited. And at the same point, you need to move. And I've done a better job this year. And in 25 now, I'm booking clients. I'm doing a better job making sure that I get people scheduled as early as possible. And so I just stress that if you want to get on the schedule and you're kind of a competent, you know, ready to add value, you're going to be one of those clients, you know, kind of like Mark and the other guys that have been on this podcast. I just employ you to say, you know, think to yourself why you want to make the change. Why do you want to grow? You don't need to hire me, but I want you to think about why you want to grow and evolve this thing on your property. You want better experiences. You want greatness. And greatness is going to be in a bunch of different forms, whether it's sitting in your office, looking out, watching those deer utilize the landscape the way that it's designed or intended to be utilized, or it's watching that plant grow that you planted and watching it flourish. I mean, it's some simple things we take out of it. You know, this morning, me getting up at 5 a.m., going over the property, doing a bunch of work. Tomorrow, I'm going to do the same thing. Then I got a camping trip. I'm trying to get in much stuff as I can when I can. And I don't care that I'm pushing deer all over the place. I don't care that I'm probably impacting my hunting season. I don't care about any of that stuff. I want to enjoy what I have. And I take pride in the changes that I'm making. And I just employ people to think about that when they're going to make decisions. Be purposeful, you know, mindful of what you can do. Look at the opportunities in front of you and don't think that it's not possible. You can be in New Hampshire and have quality hunting. You can be in North Carolina and have quality hunting. And what you can create is a better environment for everything. And the end result will be this experience that you will live on, that will live on either in your children, if it's a legacy property that will live on for a long period of time that you'll be remembered by. And I think that's really important. You know, I hope they bury me on my land because at some point, you know, I gave a piece of my life to that was meaningful, not just to the environment. I left it better, and leaving things better are a big piece of this. And I think sometimes people look at, you know, some of these techniques as destructive, but they don't have the experience enough to know how to make smart changes that are really getting them to a point of real success. And I say that with strong conviction, and I hope that people know that the output of these things are so great and extreme that it will change the way you look at your life, as well as your goals that you set will be more, I want to say, strategic and thought through. Because the day that we met, I think your goals changed. And you mentioned that you're a steward of the land now. And that wasn't my goal for you. That ended up being your goal for you. And what I will say is that is an important piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, I think you said a lot there, John. And I think it's different things for different people. But I will tell you, having, you know, acquired a farm that goes back into the 1800s and the history, you know, even more now, it's important for me to leave my mark, and the next person will leave theirs. But to get things and improve the property for nature, and not just, you know, the things we're gonna, you know, put in our freezer and be, you know, be proud of, and a quarry that we worked hard to get, but, you know, the monarch butterflies and all the pollinators, and it's just opened my mind up. And it really is something, as I'm planting these trees, that I'm thinking my grandchildren will enjoy. It's creating that legacy, knowing that it's bigger than any one of us, but it has to start with one of us. And that, to me, is powerful. And it gives you purpose. And if while you're doing that, you can enjoy your passion, but there's a bigger picture. And yeah, I just feel very fortunate to, you know, to have this property, to have met you, to have been educated, and to set me on a path that is much different than a path that I was on a few years ago, and giving me much more personal satisfaction and enjoyment, and putting it together in a way that I can actually get my arms around. It'll take me some time, but now I've got a plan and phases and things to work on that before I just was spinning, you know, in circles, trying to figure out where do I start. And you put all that in perspective.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate those. All right. I'm going to end there. I think that was a great conversation. We went way over our time. I appreciate you taking time out of your morning to just connect with me. And I'm certain we'll talk again soon. But, you know, thanks again for taking time. I appreciate you talking about your experience with my business, but talking about your changes that you're making and the end results that you're starting to see. So, you know, 1 year we changed everything, right? 1 year was a new year for you last year. And it started, it was 5 days. That was it. 5 days changed a lifetime. So I hope that you continue to grow. I know the property will, and I know that you'll continue to do great things on that parcel. So I appreciate that.
Great. Thanks, John. And have a great summer.
All right,
we'll
man.
Talk soon.
All right. Talk to you. See ya.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Maximize Your Hunt is a production of Whitetail Landscapes. For more information on how John Teeter and his team of experts can help you maximize your hunt, check out whitetaillandscapes.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.